Welcome to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast with Reverend Judith Ann Glass. For over 40 years, the prophetic ministry of Brother and Sister Glass have gone around the world bringing the living Word of God to multiply thousands of people. Get ready to receive a fresh message of faith and hope that will bring you into new dimensions of the love of God. You can be that overcomer God has called you to be as you behold Him, the Unveiled Christ, in all of His matchless glory. Listen now to the whole Word for the whole man to the whole world, ministered in the power and anointing of God's Holy Spirit.
You don't have any problem that a miracle from God can solve. Greetings, beloved. This is Sister Judith, and I thank the Lord you found time in your schedule to join me today. Well, on yesterday's broadcast, I just began a message I've entitled, On Believing God, and I think there's nothing that we need to do more than to be able to stand in such strong faith, trusting the God of the covenant, the God of our covenant, the new covenant, that He meant what He said in His word. He's not a man that He should lie, neither the Son of Man that He should repent. And what I'd like to do is look at an example from the Word of God of a righteous man who truly loved God, but was lacking in his faith, as an example that we might do all the right things, we might love God, and yet one of the areas we fall short is in believing God. And we need to ask God to set us free from that sin that so easily besets us, and that is the sin of unbelief. I don't believe any of us are in that place that we are strong in our faith, able to praise God. And even we look to the father of our faith, Abraham, his journey with the Lord was one of ever-increasing faith, that he was growing in faith. I mean, there were times he was fearful. Goodness, twice he lied about his wife, Sarah, and said that she was my sister because he was afraid he was going to get killed. So obviously, we see his imperfections, and that his walk with God was a journey of faith where he was delayed in receiving the promised son after many years, and then it was impossible physically, but God did it anyway. And then the ultimate place where his faith was truly perfect, he was willing to sacrifice his son Isaac, knowing that God could raise him from the dead because he was that convinced and committed that God meant what he said, that in him shall all the nations of the earth be blessed, his seed shall be as the sands of the sea, the stars of the heaven. Praise God. And so, beloved, that's the kind of faith journey that God wants to take us on. So let's look at an example in the Word of God. And we're going to be going to the first chapter of Luke, which most of that chapter is talking about the birth of John the Baptist and about his father, Zacharias. And here we have a very graphic description, the story of a man and woman who were righteous. They were observing all the commandments of God. They were upright in their living according to the law. And yet we see that Zacharias still did not believe God. Now, those of you who may be listening to me right now, you may have served the Lord for many years. You could be a pillar in your church. You might even be the right hand of your pastor, so to speak. You may be on call to help any way you possibly can, but there may be areas in your life, there may be situations where just like Zacharias, you still may not believe God. Look at Moses. He was very fearful. Can't you get someone else? When God spoke to him out of the burning bush, in fact, it said that God got angry with him. And look at Gideon. He needed countless fleeces, well, two fleeces, to show that indeed it was the Lord that was speaking to him. And also we look at Zacharias's wife. She was a faithful wife, well advanced in years, but she was already past the age of bearing children, as was her husband Zacharias. Zacharias was a priest whose custom was in the priest's office. At that point, it was his time to go into the tabernacle to burn incense when he went into, you know, the temple of the Lord. And we see that people were praying before the Lord. And while he went into the temple to do his work as a priest, while he was inside, the angel of the Lord appeared to him, and the angel stood at the right side of the altar of incense. And when Zacharias saw him, he was troubled, and fear fell on him. But the angel of the Lord spoke to him, telling him there wasn't any need for fear. And then he gave the message, "Thy prayer is heard." And let me just pause for a moment, because I want to make comparisons. You know, it's one thing to read the word for the historical stories and the examples it gives, but we need to relate the word of God to our own lives, to the time in which we are living. And this is an example, the story of Elizabeth and Zacharias, if you will, to the present church age. There are thousands of people around the world, multiplied thousands, that have been praying and are praying right now for God to move in these last days, that they would see revival, they would see their loved ones saved, they would see God move and answer to their prayers. And yet, when God sends forth a visitation, in this case, the angel of the Lord, and in our case, the Holy Spirit being poured out in our midst, in our lives, the people are afraid. Ministers are afraid. And you might say, well, what do you mean by that? Well, they may behold a divine phenomenon of God's visitation, and they're immediately attacked by fear, fearing that they'll be caught up in a wave of wildfire of emotionalism that will bring them into a humiliating situation with their congregation and board and headquarters, if you will. Men have been visited by the Lord profoundly, but have turned away that visitation because they valued their career standing. And I have to use that word because the church world is being given an assembly line of career professional clergymen, those that are presently in many seminaries that have substituted psychology and sociopolitics and religious philosophy for the Word of God and the empowering of the Holy Spirit. Years ago, when we used to meet on B Street in Whitehall at Hayward, we had a dear brother Kanabe. He'd come in the services. He was a preacher on fire. In fact, I can remember him sharing stories. He would have tent meetings in the San Joaquin Valley. This was many years ago. And literally, someone called the fire department because the tent was on fire. And I remember him saying, the fire chief came, and he came to me. He says, you know, you can't put out this fire. It was the fire of the Holy Ghost. And that man gave his heart to the Lord. And anyway, this brother said to Brother Glass, he says, never be afraid of wildfire in the church. There are always enough wet sacks to put it out. So, beloved, we don't have to be if your heart is on fire for God, you want to see the miraculous. That's where my heart is at. I want to see God's people set free. I want to see the power of God as we never have before. So this man, Zacharias, a godly priest, whom the Bible calls a righteous man, and his wife also was righteous. They walked in all the commandments and ordinance of the Lord. They were blameless before the Lord. But there was a problem. Elizabeth was barren. She was past the childbearing age. They had prayed. And, you know, I could just imagine, they probably prayed every day and night for a child. For a woman, it was really a very heartbreaking and humiliating thing for her to be barren in that era. And through the years, I'm sure their heart ached to see a child born to them. But time passed, and now they were past that age. There was no need to pray for a child anymore. It was hopeless. In the natural, there was, you know, God hadn't answered their prayer. And the shame of being barren would never be lifted now. They were childless. Zacharias had no heir. But listen, beloved, one day, in God's eternal scheme of things, in His perfect timetable, an angel of the Lord appeared to Zacharias in the temple. The angel told Zacharias that Elizabeth would conceive a son, that his name would be called John, and that their days would be full of joy and gladness. Hallelujah. Praise God. What a wonderful transforming thing. You know, the word of the Lord said to the prophet Habakkuk, the vision is yet for an appointed time. Though it tarry, wait for it. It shall surely come. And beloved, some of you may have been praying before the Lord, asking God for a long time to see your spouse saved, to see your loved one saved, to see your son and daughter turned around and come back to serving God. Beloved, don't give up hope. Stand in faith. There is a spiritual principle in persevering prayer. And if you have loved ones, if you have a son or a daughter who's not saved, I invite you to write and let me stand with you in the power of agreeing prayer. The announcer will give our contact information at the end of the close of the broadcast. But I want to encourage you right now, stand in faith, believe God. I don't care if it looks impossible. God will make a way where there seems to be no way. For the Spirit of the Lord would say, my beloved, is there anything too hard for your God? Is there anything too difficult for me? Behold, as you read my word, you see the spectacular miracles I did in behalf of my people. I led forth the people Israel on dry ground through the Red Sea and through the Jordan as they came into the promised land. And beloved, I will make a way for you that you can go into the promised land, if you will, of your God, that you might enjoy and experience in a way you never have before the fullness of the promises of your God. And you shall taste and see that the Lord is good, that I would deny you no good thing. Those who walk uprightly before me, I shall give unto you that which every that pertains to life and godliness, and you shall rejoice in the goodness of the Lord, and you shall eat the fat of the Lamb, and you shall see that I shall give you power to overcome every giant, over every obstacle, and you shall know that I am the Lord, I am for you, I am with you, and I shall not fail you, says the Lord. Praise God. Well, my time is gone, and I must bring this broadcast to a close. I invite you to write, share your prayer needs. The announcer will give our contact information. And I do thank you for your prayer support. Keep on praying. I need your prayers. We need your prayers. We need to pray for one another. And also thank you for your faithfulness in financial giving. God bless you. I love you. And until tomorrow, this is Sister Glass saying, may God's best forever be yours, is my prayer.
You're listening to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast. Thank you for joining us. You're invited to write Sister Glass at P.O. Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code. That's Post Office Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code. You're also invited to visit our website, unveiledchrist.org. You can learn more about Unveiled Christ there, as well as email Sister Glass. Again, that's unveiledchrist.org. And please remember as you write that your prayers for this ministry are greatly valued, and your tax-deductible gifts of support enable us to keep this radio program on the air. Thank you for joining us today. Until next time, God bless. Oh.